Hello and welcome to Media MD, the podcast where every fortnight we take a look at a piece of media that we have somehow missed. I'm Ruben Morehouse.
And I'm Elliot Diebold.
Welcome to Season 2, Elliot. This is the first episode of our new kind of format. So if you guys missed out on that, well, go back and listen to last week's episode, I guess. Anyway, what do you bring to me this fortnight, Elliot?
Yeah, so this fortnight I'm bringing you the sci-fi TV show The Expanse.
Elliot, this is so out of character for you. I can't believe you're recommending a science fiction television show.
I know. You know, I don't watch very many of of things that would fit in that category. Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like I waited a bit between the last batch and this one, so it's okay.
All right, we'll see.
Is my thinking.
I mean, I bring a lot of superhero stuff to the show, so I feel like it balances out. So yeah, a science fiction TV show, contemporary?
Yes, that means current, right? Yeah, for our less vocabularized audience members.
Slash host. Yeah, it means current. yeah, so tell me about it. What is it?
Yeah, so this is currently airing on Sci-Fi. Well, it's between seasons 2 and 3 at the moment.
Mm.
And it's probably the best term to describe it. I don't know if you're familiar with the term hard sci-fi.
I'm not. Please elaborate.
Yeah, so hard sci-fi is generally used to describe science fiction things that are much more towards scientific and less fantastical. So, for instance, right, things like Star Trek or Stargate would kind of be soft sci-fi because they involve a lot more fantastical technologies, whereas your hard sci-fi is stuff that tries to stick a lot, you know, just like have a couple of things like maybe some FTL travel or some teleportation.
I'm not super up to date on my American TV networks, but isn't Sci-Fi Channel the one that has like all the original movies where like people fight like giant crabs and shit?
Yeah.
So it is. So is this hard sci-fi or is it just nonsense?
No, this is one of the few good things that they're making right now.
Mm.
Yeah, and in fact, I actually think it may be sort of getting made by someone else and then they're just sort of airing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're making it internally because it's just frankly too good to have been
developed by them.
For them to have had their hands too deep in the pie. But yeah, so The Expanse is a very sort of hard sci-fi sort of series. So just to sort of give you the quick summary. It's set 200 years in the future. Humanity has sort of colonized the entire solar system, more or less. And basically there's like a handful of point of view characters. Oh, that's probably not the right term for a TV show, but a couple of characters that we follow.
Main characters?
yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're sort of spread out around the solar system, and they all become involved in sort of discovering this big conspiracy theory that's going to sort of shake the foundations of the entire politics of the solar system. It's a very politically driven show.
Mm.
So, I mean, I wrote this down to read. I'm actually realizing it might be a bit irrelevant now, but like it's been described by, I think it was NPR, as Battlestar Galactica meets Game of Thrones.
Everyone just describes everything as something meets Game of Thrones. It's such a pointless description.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that holds up because Battlestar Galactica was quite hard sci-fi as well, and then it is sort of, it's got all that political stuff that you'd find in Game of Thrones, but I'm realizing that that's a pretty pointless thing to have brought up because I don't think you've seen either of those shows.
Nope.
So it's an apt description.
Maybe
but
it works
probably
for our listeners
not useful.
A bit better. So whenever I picture like science fiction TV shows, and maybe this is just because of like Stargate and Star Trek and whatever, I always picture a TV show where each week they're traveling to a different like planet or whatever, and there's a different kind of alien situation there. So is this more of like a serial drama than a kind of planet of the week show?
Yeah, it definitely is. So it's completely serialized, and it's actually based off a series of novels.
Mm.
So the novels are written by James...
It's just like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, James S.A. Corey, which is the pen name of two guys named Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank.
Oh.
And they're actually doing the opposite of George R.R. Martin because I believe they're actually writing books faster than the show's coming out.
So is that, what, more than one book a year?
Yeah, just a little over one book a year. It's about a book every 10 or 11 months.
There's two of them. They can be more efficient.
And in fact, from my understanding is, it actually took a season and a half of the show to catch up to where the first book ended.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So at this rate, the book series will probably finish up well before the TV show starts to wind down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously no expert in adapting books into TV shows, but whenever I look at a piece of media and think, how would this work as like a serialized piece of content, the trap I always find myself falling into is I expand it a lot because I am so in love with the characters from the original piece of media that I want to give proper time to develop everything. So I think if something is expanding at that rate where it's like, or being like translated at that rate where one book is like a season and a half of TV, then it's probably pretty accurate, right?
That's my understanding, but I mean, I've seen some people criticizing some things in the show that they thought the book did better, and sometimes vice versa. You know, there's people are always going to sort of draw those comparisons for better or worse. But I've actually got a copy of the first book, so this is a bit different, but it's season two, so whatever. I'm going to try and read the book, or as much of it as I can in these next 2 weeks, and that'll give me something to
bring back to the table next fortnight.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, any listeners that are going to follow along or try and get a friend to follow along in the next 2 weeks, if you've seen the show and haven't read the book, you know, feel free to join me on that journey.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so why don't you give us a little bit of kind of the setting for the show?
Yeah.
You said it's spread across these planets, but...
Yeah, and I do sort of want to give you a slightly more detailed summary than I normally would, just because the first time I watched the show, I actually found myself very confused. I thought the show did a pretty average job of introducing the various political sort of groups and the current sort of structure of the solar system. And when I went and rewatched season one after it had finished, when I was getting other people to watch it, and it made a lot more sense and cleared things up. So I don't know if they were trying to sort of introduce the information slowly in a more organic way and it just didn't land with me for whatever reason.
Fuck that. Let's spoil it. Go.
Yeah. So basically, there's a sort of Cold War situation in 200 years between Earth and Mars. So basically,
which are both like human colonies, right?
Yes. So Earth is obviously still heavily populated. And you know, it's just sort of 200 years in the future. We've just, most of the technology advancements compared to like current stuff is basically medical and space travel. So, you know, Earth is now sort of controlled by the UN, which I'm hoping the book explains better how that happened.
Yeah, sounds unlikely.
But essentially, yeah, Earth is generally considered the most powerful sort of system and the richest because they have so many natural resources. Whereas you compare that to the other superpower, which is Mars. And Mars only really managed to become a superpower because they're originally a colony of Earth and then they had a civil war. A war of independence, sorry.
Yeah.
Because basically Earth had gotten in the habit of sending all of like its best scientists over there and it's sort of become like a scientific haven and all the scientists decided they wanted to control themselves.
And scientists are notoriously militaristic.
Yeah, well, surprisingly, Mars actually quite is. And I mean, this sort of brings me to one of the things I think The Expanse does the best, which is it's created a quite a deep and sort of expansive universe.
Yeah, nice time.
That's actually quite believable. Like, really, that thing I brought up with the UN running Earth is really the only thing that I don't understand as to how the solar system got to where it is. Like, the whole thing feels quite believable. Like, you could picture if this technology existed in 200 years, this is what things could look like.
Right.
So basically, Mars is quite, like, it's described as a hive sometimes, and the Martians are bees, because basically Mars is so barren that all the Martians are always having to work together and fight to survive, and so they very much work as a hive. They're a collective. All of them are very radicalized towards the idea of making Mars properly habitable.
Right. So turning it into even a proper planet.
Yeah, so even though they're a lot smaller than Earth, in general, they're quite a lot smarter, and they're also just all super determined, and they all work pretty hard. Right. So that's basically how they're actually managed to stand up to Earth. And so then the other big thing that's sort of going on is Earth and Mars also rely on supplies from the asteroid belt. So there's tons of colonies in the asteroid belt, sort of around Mars, and they're mining asteroids for ice and that sort of thing. And they send out ships to like Jupiter and Saturn to get ice from moons there as well. That area is just called the belt. It's basically a sort of working class area. So it's,
is it
quite
super conservative? Is it like meant to be analogous to the Bible Belt?
No, it's more analogous to the sorts of, I'd say the sort of all the mining stuff that went down with Margaret Thatcher in the UK.
Right, I see.
So they're quite downtrodden, very low socioeconomically, and they're basically bullied by Earth and Mars. and so there's a sort of resistance movement called the OPA. I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but it's basically an alliance of all the different sort of asteroid belt colonies that are trying to fight for their own independence because they're sick of basically being slave labor for Earth and Mars.
I'm going to guess right here. Organization for the Protection of Asteroids? Something like that? That's my guess.
I don't think that's right.
In 2 weeks to see if I'm right.
But the OPA, because all of the belters have sort of, you know, it's a very chaotic area and all that. So the OPA is quite disorganized and, you know, like with any sort of radical separatist movement, there's different parts of the organization have different beliefs in how they should be going. So some believe in peaceful protest. Others are like running terrorist attacks on Earth and Mars, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so those are like the three main factions then.
Yeah, that's pretty much the state of the solar system. And then, so, you know, the show follows like somebody working at the UN on Earth, some people in the belt and some people asteroid mining or mining a moon of Jupiter and all that. And all their stuff starts to tie together and they find a big conspiracy, which is all threatening to start a war between Earth and Mars, which, you know, with Cold Wars generally means that nobody's going to come out on top.
Yeah.